You have your Bibles, please open to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. It will be on the screen if you want to use the screen or if you want to use your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. And they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Now Samuel was a faithful prophet of God. We know a lot from the books of Samuel that was written on his behalf and all the works that he did for God during his life. He was indeed a faithful prophet of God. But when he became old, he turned the duties of judging over to his sons. Unfortunately, the sons of Samuel were corrupt. They were selfish. They were greedy. They took bribes from the people who wanted certain things, and they were dishonest and perverted God's laws. Does some of that sound kind of familiar to us today and our political system? Don't we find a lot of our politics working the same way, a lot of our politicians taking favors, giving favors to help keep them in office for a longer term, and to keep their supporters happy so that they will continue to support them? So this is what's taking place here in the days of Samuel. In an effort to solve this problem of judicial corruption, which no doubt was indeed taking place, the Israelites looked around them and saw the other nations around them who had kings. One individual that made the rules, one individual that enforced the rules. And they decided that Israel needed a king, that the judging system that God had put forth was not as good as them having a king. So they wanted to be like all of the other nations on earth. They wanted to follow the crowd, in other words. And they wanted to be like everybody else. Now, have we seen that happen in our lifetime as well? It may be that we have seen ourselves be caught up in situations similar to this. But you know, this displeased God. And I know that God is displeased today when his people seek to be like those of the world. You see, the fact of it is, God wants us to be different. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, he says, "Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Do we really want to be that way? Do we really want to follow God? Do we really want to separate ourselves from the world? Or maybe we want to be like this character from the Jungle Book who basically says, "Oh, I want to be like you." We remember that from the Jungle Book cartoon, no doubt. Maybe we see people who operate in fine, fancy church buildings, and we say to ourselves, "Boy, if we had something like that, if we could worship God in something like this, well, it would be so much better. Wouldn't it be nice to be like these people are?" It seems that sometimes other people seem to have it all together. And they have it so much better than we are, than we do in our minds. Everything for them seems to be as smooth as silk. Getting better every day, and it seems that their lives are growing by leaps and bounds. And one reason for that is because, like the Israelites, they don't see the problems of other people. If the Israelites had had time to focus in on the other nations who had the king, they may have seen that having a king is not all it's cracked up to be. In fact, that's exactly what they found out. And they found out in their very first king that it didn't work out the way that it should have. But yet they only see the good things. You know, sometimes we only see our own problems and we don't see other problems that take place that could happen to us if we made changes such as this. God, on the other hand, he sees everything. And he only wants what is best for us. Now, I do hope that we all realize that, because God tells us that he wants the very best for us. You know, sometimes we have things to happen to us and we don't think it's the very best. Things go wrong in our lives and we may try to figure out, how can God make this good for me? How can this be for my good? And we question God and we challenge God. And then we look to make changes from the ways that God has done things in our life. God knew that Israel having a king would lead to trouble. And that's why he told Samuel, you better warn them for what they're in for, because it's not that bed of roses that they think it's going to be. But they didn't want that. They didn't want to be different. They wanted to follow the crowd. They wanted a king because everybody else had a king. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to understand this. Sometimes being different can be hard. Do you remember maybe back when you were in school? There were times that you didn't maybe want to go along with some of the things that your friends went along with because you knew it was wrong, and they humiliated you because you did not go along with them, and they made fun of you, and they chided you because you wanted to be different than they were. Or maybe you remember times when you should have been different, but because of peer pressure, you weren't. You went along with the crowd. You know, we need to understand and remember that the crowd never does respect the follower. The crowd only respects the leaders. The leaders who are willing to stand up for what they believe in. But you know, sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? One example of that is the Apostle Peter. You know, Peter had a hard time being different. You know, I've always told people in the past that I can relate to Peter probably in a much better way than I can relate to Paul. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us any of Paul's mistakes that he made other than before he became a Christian. I know he made mistakes after he became a Christian because he still had red bloods running through his veins and he was still a human being, so he had to be imperfect. The Bible doesn't tell us any of those things. But the Bible does tell us quite a few things about the Apostle Peter that made him look imperfect to other people around him. This, you know, in the story of his denying Christ three times, Peter found himself standing out by the fire one night at Jesus' betrayal, and he stood out among the people that was around him. And when he spoke, he was recognized for being different. And he didn't want to be different. He wanted to be like them. He didn't want them to know that he knew the Christ. He didn't want any association whatsoever with the man that was on trial in that room. So he denied his Lord three times. He tried to cover up who he was and what he was. And you know, he probably regretted that for the rest of his life. But you know, that didn't end his temptation to go along with the crowd. We find another incident with Peter in Galatians chapter 2, where Peter had a problem accepting Gentiles. Now, Peter had probably been like most Jews who had been told there was a tremendous difference in the Jews and the Gentiles, that the Jews were far better people, and that we need to be careful around the Gentiles because they were trashy people, and we didn't need to be around them, and we didn't need to associate with them, and we needed to be different from them. But then here comes Christ along, and he says, in Christ all are one. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile. There is no slave. There is no free man. We are all one in Christ. Now, when we get to this story here in Galatians 2, Peter accepted that for a little bit. And he would associate with the Gentiles when there were only Gentiles around. But when the Jews showed up, when his constituents showed up, then he backed away from the Gentiles. He didn't want to accept the Gentiles when he was around other Jews because it made him look poorly in his own eyes. So Paul had to confront him with this problem. This is not what the Lord teaches. The Lord teaches that we are all one, Jew and Gentile alike. And Peter, you have to accept that whether you like it or not. And instead of being concerned about what others think of us, we need to ask ourselves, what does Jesus think of us? That's what Peter should have done in this situation. What does Jesus think of us? Which raises the question, how does God want us to be different? Does he want us maybe to put tattoos of the word Jesus across our forehead so that when we walk down the street, people will know that we are followers of Jesus because we have Jesus written in our skin? Well, that would be different, wouldn't it? Maybe perhaps we cover our car with religious bumper stickers. If you love Jesus, honk your horn. I've seen that a lot. That was very popular back 30, 40 years ago, and I guess it's still popular today. I have one for you. If you love Jesus, why aren't you in church instead of driving around in your car? That's what we should be doing, shouldn't it? I'd like to ask all of those folks, by the way, we broke a record this morning, I think, in our attendance this morning. We had a tremendous number here. I'd like to ask them people the same question that didn't come back tonight. Do we fill our yard with neon signs that says Jesus, Lord and Savior? Most of y'all have probably seen the gentleman that stands out here in front of Garrick's garage on Dawson Road. He's out there a lot. He's holding up a neon sign that says Jesus. And that's all he does. And he'll wave to everybody as they're driving by. And that's all he does is hold up the name Jesus. Why don't he have a microphone in his hand preaching the gospel of Christ as it should be done instead of just saying Jesus? Some of these things are quite common. Are these the things that we do to show that Jesus is a part of our lives? Of course not. People who do these things are looking for one thing. They're seeking attention. They want to be the public object for those around them. So how do we do it? Well, it's very simple. We share our Christianity with other people. We share with those who are in need. We help our neighbors. We serve one another. We show love for one another, that we care about one another. And most importantly, we show them Jesus in our lives. That Jesus has changed our lives. That Jesus has made our lives better. That's how we share Jesus with other people. In fact, Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, Jesus was very different in the way he loved. Paul told us the way Jesus actually loved in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4 and continuing through verse 8. He said, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. In other words, it doesn't make a spectacle of itself with neon signs and bumper stickers and names across your forehead. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now you look at the people of the world who follow worldliness. Do you see this kind of activity out of them? Do you see them showing love and care for those that are around them? Do you see them loving others more than they love themselves? No, you don't. Now let me ask you this. Does this sound like you? Do you have the kind of love or other people that you should? You see, we are to be different in the same way with our love as Jesus gave us this example. We have many examples in the Bible who actually did this. They were actually different, and because they were different, wonderful things happened for them. And the first one, of course, I want to talk about is David. We remember David. David was the young lad who threw a stone at Goliath when everyone thought that Goliath could not be beaten. This little boy stood up when the army of Israel wanted to run away. But he was different. He was the only one who trusted in the Lord, who knew that the Lord could deliver them. And God made him a king. Well, what about this man, Joshua? When the children of Israel went into Canaan, and they all agreed to begin with, we will serve the Lord and we will honor God, but they began to love the idols and to worship the idols, and they began all of this false idol worship. And Joshua said, well, now wait a minute. God has said that we need to worship him, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want to worship the idols, you deal with God in that process. But we will serve the Lord. Then we have men such as Lot, who was different, definitely different from the people that he lived with in Sodom. He lived in one of the most corrupt cities on earth, so corrupt, in fact, that God destroyed Sodom because of its wickedness. Yet Lot did not yield to their ways, and God saved Lot from Sodom. Over in the New Testament, we have a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea who argued with the Jewish council who was trying to put Jesus to death, and who eventually did put Jesus to death. But he argued that point with him, and he basically said, look, this thing that this Jesus is teaching, if it's something to it, we can't stop it if it's from God. But if there's nothing to it, it's going to die out anyway, so just leave it alone. They didn't listen to him. They went after Christ. So he argued for Christ. He stood up. He was different than the others. And then later on, we find that it was Joseph of Arimathea who came to Pilate and asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. And then he buried Jesus in his own tomb. These are the people who are remembered. They were remembered because they were different. They were remembered because they were willing to stand up and be different and not follow the crowd. Why were they not afraid to follow or to be different? Because they knew God. They knew how important it was to follow God. Here's the truth of this entire lesson. You and I today here in this building, we have been asked, we have been commanded to be different from the world. And when you stand before God in judgment, It's not going to matter to you how popular you were in your life here upon this earth. When you stand before God in judgment, you're not going to care how big the crowd was that you followed. You're not going to care what other people thought of you. You're going to care about what God thinks of you. In fact, that's the only thing that you're going to care about. You see, God doesn't want us to look to the world for the solutions to our problems. God wants us to look to Him. God can solve our problems, every one of them. We need to learn to stand up for what we believe and practice it in our lives every day because we are different, because we belong to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus offers us something different. He offers us something that no one else can, and that is the forgiveness of our sin and eternal life. And my friends, you can have both tonight. If you're not a Christian, you can give your life to the Lord through obedience to the gospel, and you can have both the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. And Christian friend, if you, even though you have received these things, if you have walked away from them, God has made it possible for you to come back. And He can forgive you all over again with that same blood of Jesus. And you can still have eternal life if you will give your life back to Him and stop following that crowd and come back to the Lord. Be different as He was different. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.